This is Winning with ADHD, a podcast for parents to empower students. Build up your ADHD teens so that they recognize their own talents, creativity, and uniqueness. Get tips and tricks to help overcome executive functioning challenges. Listen to stories and experiences of what worked and what did not. Together, let's find ways to build your child's self-esteem and start winning with ADHD. And now, here's your host, Heather Walker.
Hey friends, this is Heather Walker, and I am here to host the Winning with ADHD podcast. And for the month of October, we're going to talk about the what if scaries. This is something that has come and gone throughout my time as a parent over the last 19, almost 20 years of parenting a child in general, but especially one with ADHD and other comorbidities that go along with it. So those what if scaries are things like, what if my child never learns with ADHD? What if they struggle to make friends? What if their impulsivity makes it to where they put themselves into dangerous situations or that they have risky behaviors? What if they're misunderstood by their teachers and peers? What if they have low self-esteem? What if medication doesn't work or has some pretty severe side effects? What happens if they fall behind academically? And what if I, as a parent, am unable to help find the right support for them? What if my parenting isn't enough? And what if their ADHD affects their adult life, such as their career or stability within keeping employment? What if my child faces discrimination because of their behaviors or how they show up? What if they, as an adult, struggle with being able to pay or manage their finances? What happens if they're unable to hold relationships long term? What if they're unable to access healthcare consistently because of their ADHD? And how do I show up for them as they transition into, say, a teen or over to an adult where the role of a parent looks different? These are some of the questions that I think I've asked myself and so many more over the years. And with having our daughter recently move out to work on having an independent life, there are some definite challenges with that. And there are things that I still worry about, and there are things that we're working out, and there are life lessons that are being learned. So one of the things that I've thought about with this is that if we spend a lot of time in these areas of like, well, if they're not able to do this, then they're going to struggle as an adult. Or if they're not able to have friends, then, you know, there's going to be additional mental or emotional trauma potentially that comes from that. Or there's going to be concern around suicidal thoughts, depending on how your child shows up and what they're dealing with in their situation. And so these are some pretty big and important questions, and ones that can be pretty sad or cause you as a parent who's concerned about them to potentially go into a depressive state yourself and unable to take action. And so in thinking about these what if scaries, they are real concerns, and there are real life consequences and things that happen. But if they show up in certain ways in life, especially as they move into being a teenager and then into an adult in society, I think our society has expectations of what people look like when they show up. They expect that they're on time for work, and they expect that they will get all of their responsibilities taken care of or their tasks done and in a timely manner, and that they'll return from lunch break on time, and all of those types of things. Well, if you've been dealing with ADHD for a while, you know that those expectations in, you know, the American society is exact opposite of where those with ADHD tend to excel. And it's exactly where they tend to have difficulties and start to have a kind of get beat down on that self-esteem. And so that concern around their self-esteem is a very valid one and very common with those with ADHD because they tend to get picked on more or criticized more, in trouble more because they are not doing what that standard society looks like and expectation that's there. So, what are some things that we as parents can do to help ourselves and to help our kids be able to handle these situations and future situations? One thing is that everything we've talked about on this podcast over several years now are all things that we can be working on. And what I want to remind you as parents about is that you can teach and teach and teach and they may or may not be fully adopted or taken action on consistently. That is the nature of ADHD. So if your expectation of a parent is that, well, I've taught them this and we've talked about this and we've done this and we've done it over and over and over again, then you're doing exactly what you should be doing. And they are trying their best in most situations, right? If you have a child, a teen, young adult that is making an effort forward and they're not getting it 100% or even 80% of the time, it may not be because they don't want to or that it's not important to them, but rather that it is a challenge for them to be that consistent, because they have to put so much energy into being able to complete those activities consistently. So I think just remembering to have that unconditional love and knowing that you're there for them when they're ready for you to help them. A friend of mine shared a reel from Instagram of I believe a psychologist that was talking about the differences between being a dog parent and a cat parent. And I really liked it because it said that dog parenting is when your kids are from, 1 to 12 years old, and you are with them, you're side by side, you're excited to see them, and you do a lot of things together or everything together. And then about the time that they become 12, like that start of that tween to teenage years, you need to start kind of shifting over to cat parenting, which is where you kind of sit over to the side and you're like, I'm here when you want me. That's a hard transition to make. And I really liked that analogy of what that person was saying on that reel because it does really capture the essence of how a dog shows up versus a cat shows up in a household. And if you think about what your tween or teen or young adult might want, that actually kind of coincides because as a teen, if you're up in their face all the time, then you're just going to push them away. And so finding the right balance of when you can coach versus when you should encourage versus just to be a sounding board or the person that listened to them talk at 10 o'clock at night. By building that relationship, and having it be more than just in their face all the time, I think is a great way to transition from those different stages of life and the relationship that's there. I think along with that, just remembering that if you continue to set a positive example, one that is caring and forgiving of them giving effort and being sad about how something didn't go well. I've watched all of my kids, try to do something and be so upset when they forgot to do something or it didn't go how they thought it would go or they felt overwhelmed. And being able to be the parent that is there for them to come land as a safe space is probably one of the more rewarding opportunities as a parent. Not that you want to see your child go through hard times or struggle in certain situations, but to know that they felt comfortable coming back to you is more important than them being consistent in all of the behaviors and routines that you're looking to accomplish or have them accomplish. I think reminding them of the wins that they've had. We've talked a lot about stacking wins. And so remember, those with ADHD are very much in the now. It's difficult for them to look into the past and difficult to look too far into the future. So a lot of times, if you're concerned about, well, what is this going to look like in 30 days if you don't work enough hours? Because then you won't have enough money for rent, doesn't really quite resonate for some of our friends that have ADHD. And so being able to offer guidance and have open communication with them about your concerns and helping to create a plan that they can own and be a part of. I think another thing that has been a really good learning experience is focusing the outcome or the impact of what's being done rather than sometimes the tasks that go along with it. So, maybe focusing on if we get our tasks done, we are able to go hang out with friends. That's something that we've done in our family before because that was very motivating, is that, oh, if I do this and I get these things done, I get my reward, or the impact is that I get to be about around my friends more rather than less. And so focusing on what's really important to them at that time can be really helpful. Another thing is that sometimes the stress of other things that are happening becomes overwhelming and overpowers the brain to the point where they are unable to think about other things or be able to take action to be able to solve the main problem that they have. When that happens, kind of continuing to coach is helpful. And this is from all ages and all different types of situations. I've seen this on memes many times before, that if you dismiss their small problems when they're little, they won't come to you for the big problems when they're big. Because if it's dismissed as not a problem, then they believe that they need to figure it out on their own. And then you add in the fact that those with ADHD oftentimes have a hard time asking for help. And it can be a combination of having some other diagnoses along with ADHD, but also because that means that they need to seek help and that they're not maybe not doing it right. I think a lot of times, especially those who have depression and anxiety along with ADHD or potentially even autism, the communication piece can be difficult, but also feel shameful that they're not able to figure it out on their own. It seems to be that a lot of times our young kids, teens, young adults think that everybody else have it figured out. And those of us who are a little bit older know and recognize that everybody's just figuring it out as they go. And so allowing them to have opportunities to see where you are figuring it out, or being very transparent that you don't know what to do here and that you're trying to find a solution, I think can be really human, and allow them to see your human traits and that you just don't have it figured out. Because if you always show up with the answer, they're going to think that they're not going to know how you got to the answer or what you did to get there. And so by communicating, hey, the first thing I did was thought about our situation and what we needed to get to the end goal. And then I backed into the way that we could work our way there. And so those are problem solving and project management, executive functioning activities that are incredibly difficult for those with ADHD. So again, just kind of reiterating those types of processes and things. I think another piece to be mindful of is that experiences are incredibly important and we all learn from them, whether they're good experiences, just meh experiences, or bad experiences. And so by being there for our kids when they make mistakes or are having a hard time is equally as important as being there for them when they are winning and that they're excited about something. So remember to remind them that you're learning through this and you're going to be better from it and you're going to become more resilient. Resiliency is super important to be able to overcome challenges. And without that, we really get set back. And especially if you are more prone to depression, it will kind of create that right environment for depression to either come back or be more severe, or maybe overpower medication if that's the situation. And so trying to help find that right balance. I think acknowledging that they are unique and that they can make their own choices is really important, and that even regardless of what decision that they make, it doesn't diminish what you've done as a parent. This one has been challenging for me. I've always had a positive outlook that if we take these actions and we make these steps, that we will help get to the right place, we'll establish the habits, and just this like strong hope and desire to be able to help create the best case scenario. Because I think all parents want our kids to be successful, and it's hard for us to watch them to go through hard things, but we've also know that those with ADHD learn better by going through hard things and experiencing it themselves versus being told about it and just following from the advice of others. I have an example of this in all three of my kids. Our oldest very much learns by individual personal experiences. Our middle child will listen to every word you say and say, was this the right way to go? Or is this, will this be in my best interest? And we'll follow it as closely to the T as possible. And then my third child actually is a mix between the two, kind of a little bit of follows that advice, but also kind of like touches the experience side. And so there's pros and cons to all three ways of how individuals might show up. Sometimes the experience side can be really good for all of us because it's very personalized, and we have to kind of work through that and determine what we learned and what we don't want that to look like in the future. But it can also be incredibly harmful if you have impulsivity and participate in risky behaviors or don't think about what you're doing. Like in your surrounding, in your environment, it's not uncommon for those with ADHD to be more thrill seekers of like, I'll give an example of like skydiving, right? Like that, there's this massive dopamine rush that comes from those things, or adrenaline rush from those types of things. And so sometimes just doing whatever comes to mind and that impulsive nature can be great, create great experiences, but can also put them into some dangerous situations, especially if they lack some maturity or awareness around, the potential consequences. And then you could go to the extreme other side, where those who will take advice and follow it as closely as possible, and they may not try anything, and we don't want them to do that either, right? There's this balance in between of, having experiences, learning from them, but also maintaining some safety from an emotional, mental, and physical standpoint. As a parent, you can help facilitate a lot of these things, and clearly on the different stages that you're in of parenting can have a big impact on that in the way that you go about it. Our oldest daughter, I mentioned, recently moved out with a friend, and they are navigating, both of them, being out on their own for the first time. And I would have said they weren't ready. They said they were ready. And in certain ways, they've done really well. In other ways, they have struggled. But at the same time, they're learning some amazing life skills around budgeting and timing, and that the landlord wants their rent on time and that their boss wants them to work on time. And these are same things that they learned in school. It was around being at school on time and not having a tardy, getting to class on time, turning in your homework on time, and having open communication around what's happening. And we've talked throughout the years that communication creates trust. And so by communicating with someone, you have a stronger relationship around trust. Now, clearly, if you're communicating lies all the time, that doesn't create more trust. But if you are running behind, communicating, hey, I'm going to be late, I'm on my way, is creates more trust than by not communicating anything at all, by not having awareness around the fact that you're running behind. Okay, so another thing is, as adults, we think about, are they going to be able to keep a job? Are they going to be able to fully live independently, be able to cook, make sure that they eat, make sure that they attend doctor's appointments, be able to have friends and relationships that are positive and good for them, being able to continue to manage their mental health. This one is one that all of these are items that are on my what if scaries, but this one in particular is something that I've worried about more often is we tend to notice when things aren't right faster than our daughter has been able to notice them. And so a friend of ours recently said that you don't know you're okay until you are okay, or you didn't know that you weren't okay until you are okay. Because when you're in the middle of it, it's a lot harder to like step out of the bottle to read the label of what's happening. And so making sure that they can be successful. We've been able to help our daughter kind of learn some things and remind her of things. There are some areas that she's not been able to fully take on her own. And so being able to work with her of, what is the expectation when somebody moves out? You would think that they take all of those things with them, such as being able to get up on their own. We currently are still helping her manage her alarms so that she gets up and make sure that she has them set for the right times and double checking her schedule. And she's been really great in working with us. There's been some areas where she's like, nope, I got this. I don't want you involved at all. And there's other areas where she's like, yeah, I could really use some help there. And so I've really appreciated watching her be able to own some pieces, but also accept some help in some other areas. And so being able to work and help her live independently has been a great experience for both of us. I think also just reminding that it's okay that we have failures or that we mess up or that maybe others are disappointed in us on how we show up, and then deciding where we need to make some adjustments and how we want to make them. Again, those with ADHD, those experience-driven situations are far more impactful than just telling them. Right before our daughter moved out, I was talking to her about budgeting needs and concerns of like, what happens if you don't have money in your bank account when your car insurance is drafted? What happens if you, use all of your savings and you have a flat tire? And so we kind of talked through some of those things. And her response was, that's not going to happen to me. And I said, well, can we pretend? And she said, it's not going to happen to me. So, like, why waste the time doing it? And the day after she moved out, she got a flat tire. So it was kind of one of those, like, almost like immediate life lessons that happened where I talked to her about it and it was dismissed. And then she had to experience it for real life. And so or maybe even reminding her of that situation if she wants to deplete her savings or if she wants to cut back hours or something like that. So, kind of working through each of those different challenges and situations in the appropriate stage of how involved you are. And really just remembering, which we've talked about multiple times, is just maintaining and building that relationship. And so by being there and being that safety net in whatever capacity they're looking for, and it's possible that some of those what if scaries might happen. And I think that we all figure out how to work through them. So many people that I know have gone through job loss or, impacts from not taking care of their mental health or things that were completely out of their control. And we all seem to figure out how to work through them. And so helping them to work through those challenges is the best way. And that's probably what you've been doing the whole time anyway. So if your kids are really young and you're worried about this, of like, gosh, first grade is incredibly hard. And how are we going to get to graduation? Or if you have a teen and it's like, how are we going to get to graduation and how are you going to be able to support yourself? Those are real questions and important questions. And I think I would just recommend that what are you doing today to help establish the relationship that will allow them to come to you in the hard times? And even if they don't always listen, right? But that they're willing to come to you and that they're willing to ask you for help. And that you just keep guiding them through each of those situations. Start with the really small ones, then you get to the medium ones in middle school, which is heavily, heavily focused on friends and social situations, and incredibly hard. And then when you start to get to high school, it's the expectations of meeting, deadlines and being on time and preparation for the next stage of life. And then once you kind of cross over into that young adult space where it's like, I've got this, I don't need you, mom and dad, being able to be okay with that stage and knowing that they'll come back around. One of the things that I was concerned about is right after Emily moved out, it was as if all of the routines that we had worked on had never happened before. And she wasn't sleeping. She wasn't having any type of routine whatsoever. She was always on time for work, and now she's always late for work. And so she started to feel some of those consequences happen, about 2 weeks in, where she was tired all the time and she wasn't waking up to an alarm and she was late and her boss wasn't happy with her about being late every day. And so all of it started to come back, and we were able to say, hey, Em, you know that those rules that we had or routines that we had and that we focused on really heavily. The reason why we did that is so that you could be as successful as possible in meeting those expectations and then reducing the overwhelm and the stress that comes to you from being late everywhere or not turning things in or not paying bills and all of those types of things. And so those natural life consequences have started to feed in and connect and resonate with the words that we've been sharing with her. And so it's been a great experience for us as a parent to say, maybe we should go to bed by 10 o'clock every night, right? That will help you be ready to be at work at 6 a.m. And so while these are some of the what if scaries that I've always worried about, she's doing great and she's not perfect at it. And she is definitely tripping over herself in some areas, but we're still helping her and finding ways to encourage her and help her to be successful. It's definitely been a challenge as she's moved into this young adult space on the self-esteem. And I think the same thing happens when you go from elementary school to middle school and middle school to high school, college, et cetera, is that those kind of big pivotal moments in life present some new challenges, and they tend to get harder and more difficult challenges, or have, bigger stakes tied to them. So being there with them and helping them find solutions that will work for them is a great way to help manage the what if scaries of today, of like, what are we doing today on the scaries that we have today? We're struggling with math homework. We're struggling with friends. We are having a hard time getting a consistent, schedule around doing homework or getting homework turned in. All of those things, think about what you're doing today, and they 100% will apply to when your child is a young adult or an adult in life trying to be independent. And you, as a parent, will continue to learn through your experiences in helping them to be able to show up for them in the right ways. I know all of the tendencies of my daughter. I know when she's getting ready to melt down. I know when she's feeling overwhelmed. I know if I show up in certain ways that will push her buttons and that it won't make it better. I know which ways to help not push buttons. And so, being able to recognize those things and take note of those things are some great ways to be able to just continue to improve as a parent. And so that question of, is my parenting enough? Really, the answer is if you love them and you care about them and you want their success, regardless of what you choose to do, as long as those are your intentions, you're going to be doing the best that you can do. And one of the final things that I've learned in talking with therapists and teachers and doctors and friends is that there is definitely not a book out there that tells you the right answer or the right thing to do when your child is being rebellious or is refusing to listen or is whatever it might be. That is one of the questions that I asked more recently with a therapist is I think it was earlier this year of like, how do I let go and watch her fail as she goes to move out? She struggles with these basic skill sets to be able to do this. And he says, well, you probably need to think about that. And how are you going to handle it? And I don't know that I really ever got the right answer. What I have learned, though, is that as the situation arises, I seem to figure it out. And so maybe have a little bit of faith in yourself as a parent and the love that you have for your child, and know that you will be able to find the right way to show up at the right time, given the situation that's presented in front of you. And I hope that that will help you dissolve some of those what-if scaries that you have.
Winning with ADHD is brought to you by Disrupt ADHD. Head on to disruptadhd.com/learn more.